Okay, so yesterday we dealt with when you are allowed to answer or not answer in between various parts of the three paragraphs of Shema and its brachos. So we said that you can do certain things between the prakim. So what are the prakim? So it says the Mishnah in Perek Beis, Mishnah Beis, Elohin Bein HaPrakim, these are the Bein HaPrakim. Bein Bracha Rishon L'Shniyah, between the first Bracha and the second Bracha. Bein Shniyah L'Shema, between the second Bracha and the paragraph, the first paragraph of Shema, that, you know, the first of the three paragraphs. Bein Shema L'Havahayam Shema, between the first and second paragraph of Shema. Bein Vayam Shema L'Havayomer, between the second and third paragraph of Shema. And then, this is the Machlokas, the last part, Bein Vayomer L'Emes V'Yatzeh, between the third paragraph and the first Bracha that follows Shema. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he says, Bein Vayomer L'Emes V'Yatzeh L'Yavsek. Yehuda says between the third paragraph of Shema and the first bracha that follows Shema, we try not to make any separations. That's not considered Bein HaPrakim. That almost viewed as one full entity. Amar Rabbi Yishol ben Karcha, Lama Kadma Shema V'Vayam Shema. So now Rabbi Yishol ben Karcha asks an interesting question, and it seems that the first question is not really why he brought it up in the first place. It's more the second question. In other words, he says, why does Shema, the first paragraph, come before the second paragraph? And it doesn't really, it's not such a good question when you think about it, because that's how it's written in the Torah. First you have the paragraph of Shema, and then you have the paragraph of V'Hayayim Shema, and it comes afterwards. So what do you mean, why does it come first? Of course it comes first. That's how it's written in the Torah. So the Mishnah does give a reason. It says, Ela Kadeshi Yekabel Alav Omach Shemaim. So that first, the first paragraph is when we accept Omach Shemaim, the yoke of heaven on us. So that's what we have to do first. And then after that we have to accept upon ourselves the yoke of mitzvos. So first we have to accept the yoke of heaven, and then we have to accept the yoke of the commandments that heaven, that God has commanded to us. So that's what the Mishnah says, but really the second question is the primary one. Why does the paragraph of the Hayam Shemoa, the second paragraph, come before the third paragraph? The paragraph of Vayomer comes all the way back in Sefer Bamidbar, so that really should be first, and then we should have this. Really it should be, if we're numbering them 1, 2, and 3, really it should be 3, 1, and 2. That's how they're written in the Torah. So why is this come first? So says the Mishnah, says Rabbi Yishol ben Karcha, Shevehayayim Shemoa Noheg Bayom Balayla, that when it comes to the paragraph of Vehayayim Shemoa, which talks in general just about mitzvos, right? We say that's the paragraph where we accept the yoke of mitzvos on ourselves. So that's just a general paragraph about mitzvos, and mitzvos we try to keep all the time, not just during the day, but also at night. But the paragraph of Vayomer, it's only applicable during the day, meaning that Vayomer in general talks about a few things, but one of the things it talks about is the mitzvah of tzitzis. That's why we kiss our tzitzis during this paragraph, and as a result, we generally don't have the custom or we assume that there's no obligation necessarily to wear tzitzis at night. So therefore, the third paragraph, even though chronologically, I guess you could say, it comes first in the Torah, we read it last because it only applies during the day, and not real. The mitzvah in it applies only during the day and not during the night. Okay, Mishnah Gimel. So these are a few interesting halachos that really are very applicable to us. Akure es Shema velo hishmiela has no yatsa. Let's say a person is reading the words of Shema, and for some reason, it could be he's deaf, or maybe there's just so much noise, he can't actually hear the words that he's saying. So has he fulfilled his obligation of reading Shema? So Yatzah says the Tanakhama, the one opinion in the Mishnah, he has fulfilled his obligation. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, Lo Yatzah. Rabbi Yossi says, no, actually he has not fulfilled his obligation. And in general, we try to follow this. We try to make sure that when you're reading your Shema, you could actually hear the words that you're saying. That's why if you notice, many times in a shul, it gets a assuming no one's talking, it gets a little bit rowdier when people are reading Shema. That's because we assume that most people are reading Shema just a little bit, above a whisper, just so that they can hear themselves say it. Kara below dictate b'osiyoseh. Let's say a person reads, but he's not careful with the letters. There are some words in Shema that the last letter of a word and the first letter of a word are the same, so you can kind of swallow the words up when you're saying them. So let's say you're not really so careful in this when you're reading through the Shema. Have you fulfilled your obligation? Rabbi Yossi Omer Yatzos. Rabbi Yossi says you're a Yotze. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Lo Yatzos. Rabbi Yossi says you're not a Yotze. So in general, a person will have fulfilled their obligation. We do paskin like Rabbi Yossi. You have fulfilled your obligation, but nonetheless, the Shulchan Aruch says you should try to make sure that you're not swallowing up your words. Just take 5 more seconds and read the Shema a little bit slower, and then you'll be okay. One more, 2 more quick ideas. If a person reads the psukim of Shema out of order, so in that case, everyone agrees you have not fulfilled your obligation, you have to go back to the beginning and start again. Let's say a person reads and he just misses a word. So he says, Shema Yisrael, and skips Hashem misses Elokeinu. So in that case, so he should go back to the area where he made a mistake and just start again. So if a person, this happens a lot, personally, I'll speak for myself, but this happens a lot. Sometimes if you are saying Shema, you know, by heart, you're not looking in the sitter. So there are some words that get kind of like complicated because there are some words in the first paragraph that are the same as the second paragraph or sound the same, and so you can get confused. So if you really just don't know where you are, then many times people will just say, go back to the beginning of whichever paragraph you knew you were in last. That is a really important halacha. Okay, we'll read just one more since the next Mishnah is just a short one. It has to do with people who are working. Can you say Shema while you're working? So, ha'umanin korin barosh ha'ilan overosh ha'nidbach. Let's say you're a worker, you're working pruning a tree, or you're laying bricks on a wall or something like that. Masha'in rasha'in lasos keimatzvila. So they're allowed to read Shema on when they're doing their work. However, they're not allowed to daven Shemona Esrei. That's what tefillah means. It just means Shemona Esrei. And the reason basically why is because we need to have kavana for Shema, that's true, but the Rambam really says that at the very least, all you need is to have kavana for the first line, Shema Yisrael, Shema Kino, Shema Chan, and a person who's in the middle of their work can stop for 10 seconds and have the proper kavana for that. Whereas when it comes to Shemona Esrei, ideally you should have kavana for the whole thing, but ideally you should just have kavana for the first paragraph, and that's still, you know, a pretty solid chunk of time, and a person can concentrate like that when they're doing their work on top of a tree or on top of a wall. So in that case, when it comes to Shema, you can just take a break from your work and read and say it where you are. When it comes to Shemona Esrei, you cannot do that. You have to get down from the wall or the tree, and you have to daven Shemona Esrei like that. Okay, we'll stop right here. Conclude.